This is Will Hernandez, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap. This episode brought to you by MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code ROSTER, R-O-S-T-E-R, for a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. That is MyBookie.ag, promo code ROSTER. All right, this is the Week 9 DFS walkthrough. And breakdown pod, we'll be talking about the DFS slate, and let's get started. I'm going to try and fire through this. We have the Chicago Bears, the Tennessee Titans. This deal is, let's see. So the total right now is at 46.5. That's where it opened up, and the line has stayed at the Tennessee Titans -6.5. We have 51% of the tickets on the Bears, only 19% of the money on the Bears here in this spot. So clearly there's probably some sharp money here on Tennessee laying the points. 57% of the tickets are on the over, 75% of the money on the over here in this. So they like the Bears and they like the Titans and they like the over in this. When we look at the Bears, man, Tennessee has been a bad defense all year round. This is a top 12 matchup for all four skill positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. From the Tennessee side on offense, the Chicago Bears are a little bit tougher. Number 22 matchup, so basically they're probably the seventh worst matchup on this slate for opposing quarterbacks, the third worst matchup for opposing wide receivers. The one place where the Bears have been vulnerable is at the tight end position. So maybe that picks things up for Jonnu Smith just a little bit. Let me just look and see here, because I think the Titans – so on defense, the matchup tool is accounting for this, but Adoree Jackson had the knee. He's recently been activated off of IR, and he could be back for this week. Obviously, that's a big deal. They have Malcolm Butler healthy, but he's generally been the one that travels with the best wide receiver. Of course, the first round rookie, Christian Fulton, who'd been playing in the slot and just getting absolutely torched. He was recently placed on IR with a knee himself. The Bears have some issues on the offensive line that we'll just need to remember this week. Cody Whitehair, he's on the starting center. He's on the COVID-19 list. We know about Bobby Massey, 2 weeks ago, the right tackle was placed on IR. So that offensive line has been bad. But I think that David Montgomery is probably still in play this week. I'm having to really think long and hard about, the builds I've been thinking about all week that included these dudes like David Montgomery or maybe, David Johnson, or even paying down to like the Justin Jacksons or the J.K. Dobbins of the world, the DJ Dallases. Because now we have Tony Pollard opening up, it looks like, for the Cowboys. But I think that David Montgomery is a fine play. Allen Robinson is always going to be somebody who you can just – I mean, he's been one of the best players in fantasy at the wide receiver position ever since Nick Foles took over. But I think that's where your interest sort of ends on the Chicago side. On the Tennessee Titans side, it's going to be a week where no one's going to play Derrick Henry. Like I said when I was going through the matchups, it's kind of the worst matchup for the opposing quarterbacks and the opposing wide receivers. So downgrades for sure to A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. I'm not interested in playing either of those guys. But Derrick Henry, I'm certainly interested in playing him, especially with so much of the ownership that's going to congregate on Dalvin Cook and what people perceive to be a pretty good matchup. This is a game with a – decent enough total. See, feels like sharp money is betting the over, and they're betting Tennessee to win by more than a touchdown. If that's the case, Derrick Henry's going to probably have a big game. He's going to be probably anywhere like 5 to 10% owned, where, you know, Dalvin Cook's going to be 30% owned. So if you just got to ask yourself, you know, is Derrick Henry somebody that, you know, once out of every six times from an ownership perspective can't outperform Dalvin Cook? It doesn't make much sense to me. So like Derrick Henry here, kind of like Jonnu, just because of the matchup on the matchup tool. But that's about how we see this one. Detroit Lions and Minnesota Vikings. This game has a 52-point total. It opened up as a 50.5-point total. The Minnesota Vikings are 4-point favorites after opening up as 4.5-point favorites. 51% of the tickets are on the Lions, along with 55% of the money. 58% of the tickets are on the under, along with 37% of the money. So a slight lean there towards the possible under in this game. I don't know if that had to do with people freaking out about Matt Stafford and another weird sort of COVID thing with him. Hate to be talking more and more about this COVID bullshit, but it is what it is, and it's my job to try and sort through it. Let's look at the matchup tool. So we have Detroit here. The Minnesota defense absolutely sucks. It's the number 8 matchup for opposing quarterbacks, the number 2 matchup for opposing wideouts, number 12 matchup for opposing tight ends, and it's a middling matchup for opposing running backs. This is a pass funnel situation. And just as we look at it, we have there are going to be 4 corners out for the Vikings this week. 4, like, out of these guys that are already bad, these guys are already out. I mean, Holton Hill is going to be out. Cameron Dantzler is going to be out. Mike Hughes was recently placed on IR. Even Harrison Hand, who has been bad, he's even questionable this week. The only one I know that's not questionable is Chris Boyd, and Chris Boyd sucks. So on the Lions side, Marvin Jones, you know, with no Kenny Galladay, you can probably fire him up. People are going to talk about Quintez Cephas and shit. I would not touch him. I think Marvin Jones is a great play here, $5,100 on DraftKings. And no one's going to play Stafford. And, you know, if he can light it up with a couple touchdowns to Marvin Jones, maybe one to TJ Hawkinson, who's another good play, I think that would be interesting. I don't know who's going to play TJ Hawkinson, because if you guys have looked on DraftKings, at least they have Mark Andrews down at $4,800, which just seems way too cheap. It is a tough matchup he'll be facing, and we'll talk about him. There are some other cheap options. So I think, you know, if you're playing in the millionaire maker or something where you need to do something completely different, I generally don't want to play these quarterbacks. They can't do anything with their legs. Especially on a slate that involves all these quarterbacks. I mean, this slate has Kyler Murray. This slate has Josh Allen. This slate has Lamar Jackson. This slate has Patrick Mahomes. Generally, you're not going to win a lot of tournaments by playing the Matt Staffords or the Ben Roethlisbergers or the Drew. I guess Drew's not on this slate, but you know what I mean? These guys that don't have the potential to get you basically an extra passing touchdown with their legs alone. But stranger things have certainly happened than Matt Stafford having a big game, right? And with the target tree being somewhat slimmed down and pared down, makes enough sense to me that, you know, if you wanted to have a tournament lineup that involved Hawkinson, Marvin Jones, and Matthew Stafford, because no one's going to play Stafford. Is he like he's had this big COVID thing next to his name all week. And it's in a great matchup. You know, they're in a dome. It's an interesting enough spot. And then, I mean, I've buried the lead on the Minnesota side. Dalvin Cook is probably the best play on the slate. He is going to be the highest owned running back on the slate, I think, especially now that we have Pollard opening up for the Cowboys that we'll talk about. But this is the number one matchup on the roster watch matchup tool for opposing runners. Detroit can't tackle to save their lives. And this is going to be a game where Zimmer is just going to go in and he's going to say, look, let's just do the same thing that we did last week. If you wanted to pivot off of him and play a Thielen or a Justin Jefferson, that's fine. It is our number 12 matchup for opposing wide receivers. So, if you want to play those guys, absolutely go for it. But I think it's pretty easy, and I'm not going to get cute with any kind of Irv Smith or anything like that. There's enough value at the tight end position to where I feel like I don't have to go there. the New York Giants to the Washington Redskins. I can't believe that this game actually might have some meaning as far as NFC East supremacy with a 1-7 and a 2-5 team. This game has a 43-point total. Washington's 2.5-point favorites. We have 50% of the tickets on the Giants, along with 80% of the money. So people like the Giants here, man. That's crazy. 51% of the tickets are on the over 43, 57% of the money. So not too big a discrepancy there. But, man, people like the Giants. That's crazy because I was kind of liking the Redskins here. I do think Terry McLaurin has a tougher matchup than a tougher matchup than we would like versus James Bradberry. I think that McLaurin has faced off against him already once this year. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe I'm thinking about Darius Slay in a NFC East matchup with a tough projected. No, he did. So that was week 6, and he had 12 targets, 7 receptions for 74 yards. So, I mean, he got targeted 12 times the last time he faced off against Bradberry. That was at the Giants. So not particularly worried about it. It's not like – look, man, it isn't like – just let me look and see here. So Ryan Lewis has been put on the IR. So, right. So, yeah. So this is what I thought. I knew that Steven Sims had recently been put on IR, but Dontrell Inman is also doubtful. So that's one piece taken out of the receiving picture. I think McLaurin's fine. I think his price is starting to tick up a little bit. Antonio Gibson, is he going to get the kind of the post bye week increase in usage that we've seen out of some of these running backs not named goddamn Jonathan Taylor? I can't believe Jonathan Taylor. But you know, we've seen this out of DeAndre Swift. We've seen it out of J.K. Dobbins. Antonio Gibson's last game was an incredible performance for him. Just from an overall matchup perspective, Washington faces middle of the road matchups across all of the Giants, across all the Giants, skill position defenders. It's probably a little bit toughest versus the run, but certainly Antonio Gibson can do it, through the air as well. As far as on the Giants side, let's see what anything pops out here on the matchup. To what's crazy, man, on the Giants side, it's actually pretty tough for opposing wide receivers. I think that we got word earlier that Golden Tate is not going to make the trip. So that I think that that makes Sterling Shepard seem a little bit interesting. I think he's down like 4,700, maybe 4,800 on DK. And Sterling Shepard gets targets and he's pretty productive. He's a good player. So I think that's probably fine. This could probably be a game where I would steer clear of Darius Slayton, though, just especially with the way that the Washington defense, they're back healthy. Jonathan Allen's back healthy now. Montez Sweat, he had the concussion, but he doesn't have an injury designation anymore. There'll be the Giants offense. We also need to remember there's going to be missing Will Hernandez, their left guard. He had a positive COVID-19 test, so he's likely to miss week 9. Just with the way that this Washington front can get after you, and with the issues that the Giants have had with the offensive line and the issues they continue to have with some of these guys missing, I'm not sure that these Darius Slayton routes are going to have the time to develop. Evan Ingram, can you trust him? I don't know. I'm having to play him in a season-long league that in a must-win game, and I can't stand that. So in a game like DFS, where I have the whole player pool available to me, no interest at all. No Devontae Freeman in this game, but I'm not going to play Wayne Gallman or Deion Lewis or Alfred Morris is mixing in now. So that's a big no for me, even though it is technically Alfred Morris revenge. The sweet smell of Alfred Morris revenge in the air. Maybe, if narratives could pay the rent, we wouldn't have to put in these lineups. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's it for this game. This is a big one, though. The 6-1 Seahawks at the 6-2 Buffalo Bills. The Seahawks have moved from 1.5-point favorites to 3-point favorites in this one. 63% of the tickets on the Seahawks, 85% of the money. The Buffalo Bills, 67% of the tickets are on the over in this one of 55. 75% of the money is on the over. So the majority of the public thinks this thing shoots out. The sharp money apparently also believes this thing shoots out. The Bills, you know, here's the question. If you're playing tournaments, the question a lot of people ask themselves, somebody, Alan Morgan's asking in chat, what is this? I'm sorry. I don't really monitor chat. I have all these tools pulled up, so it's hard to monitor chat while I'm doing this. He's asking if there's going to be a Pollard prop later. Yes, if they give us one, I will put up the Pollard prop. I'm hoping to put up all the Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings props too, but those were off the board whenever the Vegas tool pulled its data. So we will, I'll go in and take care of those after I get done with this and get done with some of the other stuff that has to get done, before tomorrow. What was I even talking about? So the Bills, like a question that you're going to have if you have Russell Wilson in your lineup is whether I should play DK Metcalf with him or whether I should play Tyler Lockett with him. I think this week is Tyler Lockett, and it's just because if you go look at your intuition would tell you that. You know, DK Metcalf is going to draw Tre'Davious White, and you don't want that, right? But I went earlier and I just looked at so the Buffalo Bills were the sixth toughest matchup for opposing wide receivers. But you look at who they faced. So in week one, Jamison Crowder in the slot had 7 receptions for 115 and 1. Week two out of the slot, Isaiah Ford, who's not a good player at all, even though he is playing for the Patriots, I guess. I mean, they saw something in him. Had 7 for 76. He was the leader that week as well, as far as yardage from wide receivers. In week he played almost all out of the slot. In week three, Cooper Kupp, who we know plays out of the slot, had 9 for 107 and 1. That was the leader among the Rams. In week four, we had Hunter Renfrow, who never does anything, went for 5 and 57. Week five, AJ Brown, who plays a ton out of the slot, went 7 for 82 and 1. In week six, what was that? The Chiefs. So those guys, it doesn't matter. There's nobody there. There's not one slot player with those guys. Week seven was the Jets. That was Braxton Berrios in the slot. He sucks, but he went 4 for 35. And then week eight, we had the Patriots, and we know that Jacoby Myers was playing out of the slot in that game, and he was the leader for those guys. He had a 11-point game. He went 6 for 58. So that's a long way of saying. That is where you attack them. The Fantasy Life app letting me know that Matthew Stafford has been activated from the COVID-19 list. He will play tomorrow. So that's what we were expecting. That's what I was anticipating. But now, thanks to the Fantasy Life app, we have gotten that official update. You guys, if you're not using the Fantasy Life app, you should definitely give it a look. It's one of the smartest things you can do is to download it. It's a free app. We use them for their news alerts and their community. The Fantasy Life app sends breaking news alerts faster than anyone else. They monitor thousands of reporters so you don't have to, and send important news as soon as it breaks. You never miss a relevant injury, trade, or other update. The Fantasy Life app also has in-depth reports and on-demand advice from a massive community. Download the Fantasy Life app for iOS or Android at fantasylifeapp.com. And I really mean it. Like we advertise for the Fantasy Life app because we work with them and we believe in the company and we think that they're doing great things in the industry, and we want to be on board with them. And we think you should download the app. It's helping me immensely with my waiver pickups, with generally just keeping my, like, through the day, if I'm dealing with my kids, or I'm cleaning the pool, or I'm out to, you know, having to do yard work, don't miss a beat. And if you don't like it, you can just delete it. It's completely free. So the Fantasy Life app, go find it in the App Store. All right. So I like that. So the Seahawks stuff, the DJ Dallas, I don't know if it's not going to be the same this week as it was last week. And I think probably we'll see the ownership come off of DJ Dallas now that we have Tony Pollard opening up. And what I'm saying, it looks like Ezekiel Elliott's not going to play. So I keep on saying it looks like Tony Pollard's opening up. It looks like Ezekiel Elliott's not going to play. I don't even know how good a play that Tony Pollard's going to be versus the Steelers with a Garrett Gilbert quarterback. But he's opened up, and this the sheer amount of volume that he's going to get is going to make him pop in optimals. And when these players pop in optimals, you know, these wonks that are DFS, you know, pros and DFS touts across all the different sports and stuff, they're very interested in volume and volume versus price. And I think Tony Pollard is going to absolutely pop. So it might be that, you know, if you're paying down, maybe we'll see some of the ownership come off DJ Dallas, which I hate, because if you watched that game last week, I didn't think he looked that good. And last week was different. You had Travis Homer, who just got in a limited participation on Friday last week. And DJ Dallas got, like, Travis Homer hardly played. But DJ Dallas is kind of bad enough to where the Seahawks actually had to play this fullback, Nick Ballore, and use him as a running back sometimes. DJ Dallas did not look good on the majority of his plays. I know he scored. I know he fell in for the touchdown, but that felt very, very lucky. It felt like a suck out. So I'm not going to play DJ Dallas. I understand, you know, why you might. I think, you know, maybe if he was 4K like he was last week, I could be interested. But, you know, this week also, the Seahawks called up Alex Collins from the practice squad. Pete Carroll has said he's very comfortable with that guy. So, yeah, you know, clearly we have no Carlos Hyde. We have no Chris Carson. Somebody has to pick up the slack. But and the Buffalo defense is a bit of a run funnel. Let me look at the matchup tool. So Seattle, it's the number 8 matchup for opposing running backs, the Buffalo Bills are. But, it's also a good matchup for opposing tight ends. It's a good matchup for opposing quarterbacks. I mean, this is Russell Wilson. I cannot see this game with two teams that are 6 win teams coming into week 9, you know, that are, what are they? They're 6 win teams, right? 6-1 and 6-2. Like, this being the DJ Dallas game, it just, like, that doesn't, something about that doesn't sit well with me. I could be wrong. You know, I could be wrong on the Buffalo side. How could you ever play one of those running backs in this spot? I don't, you know, in DFS, I can understand playing Singletary or Zach Moss in season long, but again, I have the whole player pool available to me. I'm not going to be thinking about those guys. I mean, for me, all roads come back to Josh Allen, to Stephon Diggs, and maybe some John Brown. And that's about it. And I think all those plays are strong to quite strong, to quote meet the Fockers. Or was that Meet the Parents? Maybe. Chargers, what Fantasy Life app? Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen has been added to the team's injury report and is now listed as questionable. Shit. So Keenan Allen's now questionable. So we'll keep that in mind. They are much, much, much more careful about people playing with illnesses these days because of COVID. Do you remember the Melvin Gordon game? Whenever he had strep throat, but he couldn't travel because, you know, it's like, what if the symptoms were COVID? He hadn't tested for it yet or hadn't shown up on a test yet. So keep that in mind. That sucks. Okay, let's move on to the next one so I can get going. We can all get going. The Baltimore Ravens at the Indianapolis Colts. The Ravens here are 1-point favorites after opening up as 3-point favorites. This thing actually got to where it was going like a pick 'em for a while here, which seems wild to me. We have 65% of the tickets on the Ravens, 62% of the money, 66% of the tickets on this over of 48, only 40% of the money though. So maybe not as much sharp support here for this game to go over. And, you know, it's going to be one of the one of the slower paced games of the week. I know that Pat Thorman from Establish the Run tweeted out that this was one that he considered one of the slowest. He writes a column every week about the game pace, one of the slower paced games of the week. And on the Indy side, well, I talked about Jonathan Taylor earlier. I don't know what to do about Jonathan Taylor and Jordan Wilkins and stuff, and even in season long. And so there's no way I'm playing them in daily. I don't think I'm not interested in a single Indianapolis player. It's too hard to figure out what's going on. Even when we know the matchup, it could be a little bit easier than usual. If we just take a look at what's happening with the Ravens, on defense. So we have Marlon Humphrey. He's going to miss this week after testing positive for COVID-19. We have Deshaun Elliott, who was deemed a close contact to Humphrey. We haven't heard yet if he's going to be able to come back today and be able to play on Sunday. They've activated Matt Judon, their outside linebacker, but Tyus Bowser from U of H, he was also a close contact. LJ Fort, the inside linebacker, Malik Harrison, the inside linebacker, Patrick Queen. All these guys were deemed close contacts to Marlon Humphrey. And at the time of this recording, it hasn't been basically seven players were placed on the reserve list due to this. It's most likely that those guys come back, those linebackers and everybody come back, but we know they won't have Marlon Humphrey. That's a big hit. I still don't. I mean, maybe if I'm paying all the way down, I could look at Marcus Johnson, but dude, Marcus Johnson from right here, Texas, he's been on the injury report too. I'm not going to play T.Y. Hilton or Zach Pascal or some shit like this versus the Ravens. It's like, no way. But maybe Marcus Johnson down at 3K. On the Ravens side, they just seem too cheap, man. Like I said earlier, Mark Andrews is 4,800. We have Marquise Brown, who made the tweet last week saying, you got all these soldiers, you're not even going to use them. He was tilted. The team, I believe, made him delete the tweet, but you might see a squeaky wheel thing with Marquise Brown. He's too expensive on DraftKings. Maybe you could play him on FanDuel. I like J.K. Dobbins. Why not, right? I mean, he had the big week last week, no Mark Ingram this week. That could be interesting. And then Lamar Jackson, if he's going to play him by himself, he's only like the fifth or sixth most expensive quarterback on this slate. I mean, I know that the Indy defense is good. I know that they're getting sort of back to health. Darius Leonard came back last week, had a good game. Danico.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Autry is healthy. When they get Kamoko Ture back, they're gonna be pretty much at full strength outside of of course they lost Malik Hooker early in the season. Regardless, I think Lamar Jackson's fine. Two things to remember on the offensive line: Stanley. We saw last week Ronnie Stanley, their best offensive lineman, their left tackle. He had the season-ending ankle last week, and the Tyree Phillips last week, who was the right guard, who they're really high on, a really good young player, but he had an MCL sprain. He was added to the 3-week IR, so those guys are banged up. I'm not sure how much it matters for Lamar Jackson, but just something to keep in mind there. I think that no one's going to play the Ravens. And I don't think the Ravens are like, I'm not burying the Ravens just yet. Take that for what you will. Certainly not anything you would do in cash games, but as a tournament play, you know, if you're playing one of these games, like in the FanDuel, it's like $4.44 to try and win a million. There's probably a lot more idiotic things you can do than that. Carolina at the Chiefs, a 52.5-point total here in this game. The Chiefs are 10.5-point favorites. 64% of the tickets on the over, 92% of the money on the over. The Sharps love the over in this game. 59% of the tickets on KC, 79% of the money on KC. So what do we do with Christian McCaffrey? I'm going to play him in some lineups. This is a tough matchup for opposing wide receivers, for Robbie Anderson, for DJ Moore. I do think that Christian McCaffrey is going to come back, and if he's not himself, he'll be close to himself. And if he's close to being himself, I'm very interested, especially when he's going to be 5% owned and he's only 8,500. And maybe you could play him in stat. I'd like to play Mahomes in this spot. I'd like to play Tyreek Hill in this spot. I'd like to play Travis Kelce in this spot. It's actually a really good matchup for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell. And maybe that's a good way to get leverage. I don't know how to do it. I don't know which one of those guys I would want to play. I think Clyde, he was popping in our DFS model. No one's going to be on him. But you know, when I was interested in Christian McCaffrey's prop, and of course I'm interested in everybody's prop. I make the Vegas tool over at Roster Watch every week, and McCaffrey. Why is it? Jesus Christ, man, come on! What's wrong with you? Find McCaffrey. Okay, he only has a 50.5 yard rushing prop. He does have a 4.5 reception over under and a 34.5 receiving yards props. So we're looking at like 85 total yards that the sports books project for him. I just wonder if we've seen Mike Davis with a 16.2% target share through the time that he has been taking over for Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey was only at a 12% target share whenever he went out. And that's disturbing because, you know, last season, Christian McCaffrey, of course, was at like a 24% target share, 26% target share. So are things fundamentally different? Is Robbie Anderson really taking that much away? Like, is this coaching staff in Carolina that much different? I think probably there's some differences. But, man, it's still Christian McCaffrey. It's still an awesome scoring environment in this game. People were worried last week that we talked about it last week, man. Like, I hope you guys played some Dalvin Cook. I mean, I played Dalvin Cook on basically all my tournament teams last week. The situation felt a little bit kind of similar. It's a good matchup. It feels like it's going to be a good scoring environment. And people are going to be worried about him just because he's coming off of an injury. And I know high ankle sprains are bad injuries. And I'm not saying play him in cash. I'm not saying to go broke doing it. I'm just – it's kind of fun, right? Play fucking McCaffrey, right? We play McCaffrey. It's fun, you know. And then on KC, you know what to do. I mean, except for running back, and I don't know what to do either. And so, I guess you could say, you know, we're all in that one together. okay, something else we're all in it together is my bookie. We should all be over there gambling. New customers receive a 100% deposit match up to $1,000. You put in 100 and you get 100 extra to play with, all the way up to $1,000 with promo code ROSTER. It's fall, and at my bookie, that can only mean one thing. It's winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, survivor, and more. At my bookie, winning season is all about your chance to win big. Bet NBA playoffs. Well, you can't do that anymore. But you can bet. You know, you can bet UFC. We have the Masters coming up. We had all this crazy stuff with the election. It's about. I mean, we're about to have basketball back for Christmas time. Like, we have all kinds of stuff going on. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash, invest in your intuition. Select from hundreds of futures bets. You can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that brain of yours to good use. Use promo code ROSTER and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now to bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. So go to MyBookie.ag, promo code ROSTER. 100% deposit bonus, up to $1,000. All right. We have the – okay, we already talked Baltimore, right? We talked Carolina, KC. Okay, here we go. Houston, Jacksonville. Two shitty 1-6 AFC South teams. Houston's a 6.5-point favorite in this game. We have a 50 total. 68% of the tickets are on the under, only 58% of the money. 61% of the tickets are on the Texans, only 5% of the money. This is the Jake Luton welcome to the NFL spot here. I don't trust any Jacksonville wide receivers until I see what the hell this guy looks like in the NFL. To me, coming out of college, Jake Luton looks like a poor man's Gardner Minshew. Terrible athleticism. Not overly prolific. I went back and watched some of his games. I mean, he had some nice passes. Him and Isaiah Hodgins, they had a good connection. It was at Oregon State. They had a good connection. But he's not going to do – I saw he had a 6.5-yard rushing prop, and I was like, man, you should bet the under on that. If you go to Pro Football Reference, he had negative rushing in college. So, of course, in college, they count sacks as negative rushing yardage. N'Keal Harry and J.J. Taylor are officially out via the Fantasy Life app. So keep that in mind for the Monday night game. We're not talking about that, though. We are talking about Houston and Jacksonville. Let me just look and see what the injury situation. I think that there's something going on with the Texans linebackers. Yeah, for sure. So we have Whitney Merciless was on the COVID-19 list. That's because he was a close contact of somebody else who was like when in that linebacker room. They have COVID in the linebacker room. So that'll be something to keep in mind for those guys. I think that's good for James Robinson. I just wonder if this is a situation where – if you watch back the games of Luton, he does dump it off to his running back a lot. I don't know how this game script's going to go. It makes me a little bit worried about Robinson. But if we do have missing linebackers and we do have a situation where they're having trouble pushing it down the football field, maybe James Robinson can make up for it in the passing game. On the Texans side, man, my friend Derek Carty, who I do the Blitz show with on Roto Grinders, for anybody who's subscribers over there, he says that David Johnson is the best cash game play of the week. I'm not sure I agree that he's the best play of the week, but I've certainly had interest in David Johnson this week. He's super cheap. He's right around that same price point as Antonio Gibson and David Montgomery. So I think that there won't be as many people on him. And just if we take a quick look here at the Vegas tool. Here, I'll pull up the Vegas tool so you guys can just kind of see it. David John, just I'll just give you the visual of it. David Johnson, just right up here at the very top. I mean, they have him for 72.5 rushing yard over under, a 2.5 reception over under for 20.5 additional yards, and he's -155 to score. I mean, Vegas has him projected for 16.45 DK points this week, which would be 2.94x value. That is the best on the slate as far as DraftKings. And I think on FanDuel, he's pretty much up here too, only two guys ahead of him as far as what, you know, Vegas would project versus their pricing, those players being DJ Dallas, who I said I wasn't on, but, you know, he's 5,100 on FanDuel, where you have a $60,000 salary cap, whereas he's 50,000 on DraftKings, where you only have a he's 5,000 on DraftKings, where you only have a $50,000 salary cap. So 5,100 against a 5,100 against a $60,000 salary cap is much less, and certainly much more appealing. Let's see. How do I read? I just accidentally closed that tab. Reopen, closed tab. And then, of course, I mean, Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks. Don't sleep on Brandon Cooks, man. He's been better than anybody. He's been better than anybody would have thought. And that's kind of where I am with that. I just, my one worry about this game, the reason why I'm not leaning into it even more and saying I really want to play this game and I want to play Watson, Fuller, Cooks, and have Robinson on the other side. This whole thing with Jake Luton, I really don't know how that's going to affect the game flow and the projected game script. Denver at Hotlanta. This game, as Atlanta is a 4-point favorite. This total's moved up from a 47. Now it's up to a 49. 61% of the tickets and 61% of the money are on the over. 57% of the tickets and 62% of the money are on the Falcons. On the Falcons side, we don't know about Calvin Ridley yet, if he's going to go. I don't want him to go because I think Julio's probably the best receiver play on the slate. I badly want to play Julio. He's projecting really well on DraftKings, as you might have noticed when I did the screen share. But I mean, he has a 6.5 perception prop with juice on the over, 87.5 receiving yards. He's finally a favorite to score -110. That says a lot. It's rare. It's kind of a joke with the trash man that he should never be a favorite to score. But he's a favorite to score this week. I mean, he's just at 7,200. It's too cheap for a beast like Julio Jones. I mean, if you need salary savings, people are talking about Christian Blake maybe being the number three option. If I really want those savings that much, I'll pay down to get Hayden Hurst. You know, get access to this game somehow. Or the good way to get access to this game, and then Russell Gage is another way. Or the way you do it is just on the. I hate to say it, but maybe play Drew Lock. He's 5,200. You can pair him with Jerry Jeudy. My favorite play at the tight end position on the slate is Noah Fant versus the number one matchup for opposing tight ends here in this spot. He has a 4.5 reception prop, juice on the over, 49.5 receiving yard prop. And this, you know, you get Noah Fant on a fast track and you get him. I mean, you get him running even against some of the better safeties in the league. Like he can run away from these guys. He's the one of these rare tight ends in the NFL who he's the exact opposite of a Zach Ertz or a Jack Doyle or one of these catch it and fall down type of tight ends. Like he's capable of taking it. He's capable of house calling your ass anytime he gets the ball in his hands. So love Noah Fant on the fast track this week. Tim Patrick's coming back. I mean, you can burn these dudes on the outside. Jerry Judy's cheap. So if you want access to the game, you want to play Julio and it's a nice stack, maybe you do some kind of revered reverse Drew Lock thing. He popped in our model. He's on our cheat sheets. I hate it. I hate Drew Lock, but the play makes sense. The matchup's good. The surrounding pieces are talented and they're in great matchups themselves. So when all that, pretty nice high total. The majority of the money's on the over. And I mean, it's in a dome. So could probably do worse. Let's move on to the afternoon games here. We got three of them. Las Vegas at the Chargers. We have the Chargers here as 1-point favorites. The totals moved down from a 56 down to a 52. 57% of the tickets are on the Raiders here to cover that 1 point, along with 82% of the money. I guess the Sharps believe that Justin Herbert just only plays in close games and then loses, right? 64% of the tickets are on the over. 87% of the tickets are 87% of the money's on the over. So this feels like a game that we might want to stack. And it's pretty easy if you go with Derek Carr because he's only 5,700 on DraftKings. Pretty bad props for guys like Henry Ruggs this week. A little bit of the shine has come off of Nelson Agholor as we have Bryan Edwards looking like he's going to return. Let me just look and see. I thought there were a couple of injuries we needed to monitor here. Oh, right. So, yep, of course. So Joey Bosa, he's doubtful. He's not going to be able to, I don't know if he's going to be able to go. It feels like if he's not ready by now, probably won't be able to go. And, you know, the Chargers have also had a couple of issues with their – if you've been wondering, like, why are they getting burned so bad? And, you know, it's like – I mean, Derwin James has been hurt. Like, Chris Harris has recently been put on the injury report. Drew Tranquil, who can generally turn around with some of these tight ends, he had broken fibula. So definitely some things to monitor there. Oakland, maybe you worry a little about Trent Brown. I don't know, poor guy, man. I don't know what's happened to him. He was on the COVID-19 list. He comes off. Now he's having some effects of COVID-19. So, or maybe some lingering symptoms, even though he's cleared out of that. This all comes after that weird thing where he got some, you get blood in his system through an IV or whatever. So, you know, hope for nothing for the best from that guy. But, you know, you play those guys. And then on the other side, of course, Keenan Allen's going to be in play if this illness thing's not that weird. If this illness thing gets weird, I actually think that bumps up Justin Jackson even more. We saw – I was worried this week because Troymaine Pope was called up off of the practice squad whenever it felt like Anthony Lynn, who is an running back's coach's running back coach, started kind of saying things about Joshua Kelly that made you think that he was souring on him. And then Troymaine Pope pops up and looks like he's trying to, he breaks out, right? He looks like he's trying to take Joshua Kelly's job. I'd be worried about that for Justin Jackson. Not that I'd want to play Troymaine Pope, but that I'd say, you know, Justin Jackson might not get the work, but now Troymaine Pope's got a concussion. He's doubtful. So if they already are souring on Joshua Kelly, could Justin Jackson get 18 touches here in this number one matchup for opposing runners? If he can, like, I'm in 4,900 and you're telling me, and like, what's the discussion even between this and DJ Dallas? Like, DJ Dallas is more expensive. That's something I didn't understand. Now, all this calculus could change, and maybe Justin Jackson won't be popular now because of the Tony Pollard stuff. So that's just we'll have to monitor all this because we not only have that, we have Keenan Allen now. If he's out, Hunter Henry, it boosts him up. Hunter Henry looks like a good play as it is. So that's something you guys are just going to have to monitor. And if you're pro members at Roster Watch, you can come ask us in the comments section. We're usually most busy there answering questions on Sunday mornings and on Thursday nights. So if you've asked a question this week and we haven't got to it, then somebody emailed and they asked a question on Monday, like before I had any of my tools, they're like, I asked a question on Monday. I still haven't gotten an answer. I was just like, I told her, I'm like, fucking write that guy back and tell him, just like, ask the question again in a newer article. I'm not looking at Monday articles to answer star sit questions. I don't even have the matchup tool built till Tuesday night. Like, it's crazy. But anyway, for you guys, you know, for that guy, if you're listening and you're frustrated, like ask your questions closer to the time when you have to actually make the decision. Who answers start sit questions on Monday? If I did, I would be doing you a disservice. I would be talking out my ass. I have all these tools pulled up for a reason. I'm trying to provide insight. And Josh Jacobs, man, play Josh Jacobs some. You play good players. The Chargers are being gashed on the ground lately. They weren't at first. They have been lately. Pittsburgh at Dallas. My favorite play of the week is in this game. This is even though it's only a 44-point total, Pittsburgh's 15-point favorites. 66% of the tickets are on Pittsburgh, only 55% of the money because the Sharps always like to make the crazy, ridiculous, shitty plays. 52% of the tickets are on the over, 54% of the money is on the over. Of course, we know why this is such a weird thing for Dallas. Their whole offensive line is a complete mess, and they're having to go to the Garrett Gilbert well here. I tweeted it last night. I can't believe that 1/8 of the starting quarterbacks in the National Football League in Week 9 come from my little western edge of Travis County in Central Texas, which is the gateway to the beautiful Texas Hill Country. In my estimation, the most beautiful country in the world. So it's Garrett Gilbert that went to Lake Travis High School, which is right down the road. It is Baker Mayfield that went to Lake Travis. And then it's just Drew Brees that went to my high school, Westlake High School. and it is Nick Foles. And there's 32 teams. That's four quarterbacks. That's one-eighth of the league, man. It comes from this little tip of one county in Texas. Look, we know what's going on with the Cowboys. We know that Joe Looney – well, I mean, we've gone over it every week. Lael Collins, Joe Looney, Tyron Smith, Cam Irving, all this stuff. You like Connor Williams has been underperforming. They finally got Zach Martin back. But now at quarterback – we have Andy Dalton, who's COVID concussed. Ben DiNucci, who sucks. So Garrett Gilbert, Cooper Rush, quarterback stuff. So we have Zeke, who's not going to play. Or it doesn't look like he's going to play. They're not expecting him to play, the reporting I've seen so far. So the Steelers' defense looks like the most epic defensive play of all time. They're priced up to unimaginable heights on DraftKings. They're at the salary cap on FanDuel at $5,000, $4,900 on DraftKings. But it's almost like you still want to play them. And if the Steelers are so good defensively and stuff, like I understand Tony Pollard's coming into the volume, but what if this thing goes off the rails? It could be – I don't know if I'm going to fade Tony Pollard, but it feels like something where if, like, man, everybody's going to get on him late. There's certainly – way they're past to that thing failing. And there are some guys, like, you know, like I mentioned, the J.K. Dobbins, the various J.K. Dobbins narratives we talked about, the various Justin Jackson narratives we talked about, especially if we find out there's no Keenan Allen tomorrow. Those are things to keep in mind for players that are in the same price range there as Tony Pollard, because a lot of lines are going to start looking the same. You're going to start like, this is going to mean people get up to Dalvin, they get up to Chase Edmonds, and then they pay down to Tony Pollard. And in those kinds of lines, you can still play Julio. So do with that what you will. I'm not like Tony Pollard's the only player of interest on the Cowboys. On the Steelers side, good luck with the Russian roulette of picking who it is. My guy, Chief Justice 06 from the Blitz show, says it's going to be Juju. For me, it doesn't matter. To me, all roads point to James Conner. I'm all aboard. Anybody and everybody runs on these Dallas Cowboys. They're going to get up. Benny Snell didn't even get a touch last week. Just give me Conner. He's got 3.5 reception prop, which you saw on the over. So it's like, giddy up, man. I love Conner this week. All right, we have one last game, and it involves, we talked about just now, Chase Edmonds, and it's in his game. 49-point total here. This is the Dolphins at the Cardinals. Of course, no Kenyon Drake in this game. The Cardinals are 4.5-point favorites. 59% of the tickets are on this over, 49. 54% of the money is on the over. 52% of the tickets are on the Cardinals. Only 43% of the money is on Arizona. So I think it's pretty easy on them. Okay, so on the Miami side, no Matt Breida, no Myles Gaskin. Could this mean a Jordan Howard kind of game? I don't think so. Maybe you could play Patrick Laird. You really want to do that. Like, I think it's silly. There's no Isaiah Ford in this game. We talked about how he had been traded to the Patriots. So that could open up two things. One, it could open up Mike Gesicki, who, I think it was Evan Silva. I saw tweeting about how, you know, he plays more in the slot than any other tight end in the league. So maybe he gets more involved. I kind of think, look here, Jakeem Grant, Cliff Kingsbury knows him very well. This could be Jakeem Grant revenge. He had the big return touchdown last week. For some reason, I just see a Texas Tech kind of Jakeem Grant, Cliff Kingsbury thing. So in your deepest of deep tournaments, you can maybe look at him. I'm not playing Tua. Cardi's saying he kind of likes Tua. I don't really like Tua. Kyler's great, of course. DeAndre Hopkins. Look, with DeAndre Hopkins, we just need to realize with him, this is the new normal. And I hate that term, the new normal. I've grown during this year of 2020 to loathe the term the new normal. I can't stand it. But DeAndre Hopkins' new normal is that he he doesn't practice all week and then he goes and he just goes goat mode in these games. So, I mean, play Hopkins. It's a good matchup. I mean, it's a good scoring environment. It's not the best matchup versus on the outside versus the Byron Jones and the, you know, Xavier Howard, but it's, you know, it's in a dome. It's a 49 point total with, you know, a lot of money coming in on the over. It's just like, you feel like those tough outside matchups affect guys more like, you know, Christian Kirk and Andy Isabella than they do guys like DeAndre Hopkins, who just doesn't need separation. He's like a guy who's just a sideline toe dragging, that's like magic wizard. And then just the clear, I mean, of course, Chase Edmonds. There's no Kenyon Drake. It's tough for me to choose who I like better besides James Conner and Chase Edmonds. And it makes me worried because I want to play Dalvin Cook. I want to play Derrick Henry. I want to play all these guys. I mean, you can't play them all though. You have big decisions to make, and that's no different this week. You can find all our tools at rosterwatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.